There's a touching story that's told about a Christian physician who was traveling through Korea one day and taking part in their mass transit system on one of those busy, crowded trains that so many folks would travel in that area. And he was a loner. He felt like there was no one else around him who could speak English and was feeling definitely like an odd person in a foreign country. Across from him sat an older gentleman with a white package of cloth. And the older gentleman, who spoke Korean, tried to carry on a conversation with this English-speaking physician. And the physician, unfortunately, only knew one line of Korean, which was, "I do not know how to speak Korean." And he knew that line very well and said it to this Korean gentleman. But the Korean gentleman continued on with his conversation, speaking Korean and trying to gesture to him what he was trying to say. Again, the physician said, "I do not know how to speak Korean." And once again, this Korean fellow continued with his conversation with louder gestures and much more language. And he said a final time, "I do not know how to speak." And just in the middle of that sentence, the Korean gentleman said, "Yesu, Yesu." And that made the physician stop for a moment. And he thought to himself and then said to the gentleman, "Yesu, Jesus," and pointed to the man's heart. And the Korean gentleman said, "Yes, Yesu, Yesu, Yesu." And together, speaking different languages, different ethnicities, different backgrounds, they realized that Jesus was among them, the two of them traveling on their journey together. Our scripture reading this morning talks to us about two other gentlemen who were on their journey together and did not even realize that among them, in their midst, this stranger was in fact the resurrected presence of Yesu, Jesus the Christ. These two fellows had the fortune of seeing Jesus in a tangible form. Days after Jesus rose from the dead, he made a few appearances to some select people. But for some reason, Jesus chose to make himself known to these two people on the way to Emmaus. We don't know a lot about these two men. We only know one of their names. We hadn't heard about them at any other point in the scripture. We don't know what they do, why they were in Jerusalem, or why it is that they were heading home when they did. All that we're left with is the reality that Jesus came and showed himself to them, and that these two men didn't recognize Jesus. Amazing. That's the question that we're going to talk about this morning. We want to talk about how to practice the presence of the living, resurrected Christ. To live as if Christ were walking with us, talking with us, breathing with us, right next to us every step of the way. Because as Easter people, that is in fact what we believe. How do we live the Christ-companioned life? How do we keep the distractions of our lives from overshadowing the reality that in fact Christ is real and with us every step of the way? So I want to ask that question to the two men in the Emmaus story this morning. Why didn't you recognize Jesus? I would think that the first answer was because they were distracted. They were distracted by their journey and the events in their own life. They had been in Jerusalem. They saw the incredible news about how this Jesus had come into town and how he had been delivered to Roman authorities and then beaten and whipped and then ultimately killed and then buried. They knew all the events. And perhaps they were distracted by their own journey back to their home. Emmaus was 7 miles north of Jerusalem. That seems like a long walk for us. Probably wasn't too long for them. But certainly still time for a lengthy conversation. I would imagine that they were so wrapped up in their own little world, carrying on their conversation, passing time to make it home, trying to get to their destination, that they didn't realize that Christ was with them. How often have we in our own little journeys failed to sense the presence of the real Christ in our midst? How often have we gotten so caught up in our answering telephones, typing at the computer, answering phone calls, meeting people, doing the laundry, driving around town, feeding the kids, doing the dishes and all those things, caught up in our own journeys that we fail to realize that in fact the presence of the risen Christ is among us and with us. Some of the women here remember last fall when we went to Cape San Blas, how we talked about a simple man named Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence was a person who lived several centuries ago, and he worked in a monastery, but he wasn't a monk. He wasn't a monk, but he worked in a monastery as the chef. He served the brothers in the monastery by slaving away at giant pots and pans, cooking and cleaning and serving and raising the food in his garden. But one of his great contributions to that monastery, and indeed to the Christian church, is a little book that Brother Lawrence wrote that was in the form of a letter to the abbot of that monastery. Perhaps you've heard of it. I think I've mentioned it before. It's called Practicing the Presence of Christ. A letter that Brother Lawrence wrote in response to people who wanted to know, Brother Lawrence, how is it that you sense the presence of Christ with you all the time? Now, you might be surprised, as I was, to find out that Brother Lawrence did not keep a set time for devotions every day. He didn't keep a set time for prayer. He didn't feel like that was the right thing to do for him. Because what that suggested to him was that it compartmentalized his life into times in his life when he was spiritual and then the other times when he was secular. He decided that for him, practicing the presence of Christ meant breathing and living and thinking and feeling the presence of Christ every moment of every day. So he pondered Christ while he was washing the dishes. He filled his mind with images of God while he was cooking. He strove for a life that was consciously and subconsciously aware of Christ's presence with him all the time. And he also knew, as I believe, that his method may not be for all of us, but for him it was exactly the way to be. One of the reasons that we miss out on the companionship of Christ is that we compartmentalize our life into Sundays and the rest of the week, into our devotion time and the rest of our day, in the life that we live on the outside, and the spiritual life that we cultivate on the inside. It is a compartmentalizing of the sacred and the secular. One of my friends is a juggler. I went to school with him up in Ohio. He's actually a professional clown, if you can believe that. And one day he tried to teach me how to juggle. He failed miserably in that lesson, but he did teach me a lesson about life. He handed me these balls, and he tried to get me to throw them in sync with each other to keep them moving. I'll never forget the piece of advice that he gave me. He said, McGray, you know, the problem that so many people have with juggling is that they concentrate on the balls. They're so worried about juggling these objects in the air and worried that they only have two hands to juggle three or four or more balls. But the good juggler knows that you don't focus on the objects. You focus on the space in between the balls. Because juggling is as much paying attention to the space between the objects as it is the objects themselves. What wonderful advice for people who practice the presence of God in their lives. To notice the simple spaces in our lives, the moments of silence, the small beauties, the little things in our life that too often get neglected because of the objects that we juggle every day. As Brother Lawrence would suggest, pay attention to the silence, to the little things in life, and then you may realize the presence of Christ with you. The second thing that kept these two men from realizing Christ's presence with them is found right there in our scriptures, verse 22 through 24. They said, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they didn't find his body there, They came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And they go on and on and on, recounting the events surrounding the resurrection. It's amazing to me that they knew plenty about the resurrection. They knew plenty about the risen Christ. But they didn't recognize or experience the risen Christ personally. Perhaps our problem this morning is that we know a lot about this risen Christ, but we fail to try to get to know him personally. I want to follow this theme of practicing the presence of Christ by introducing to you someone else, one of the great African-American preachers and teachers in recent Christian history. His name was Howard Thurman. And he wrote a book called The Inward Journey, which talks about getting to know Christ personally through creative means. Perhaps some of these ideas that he shares will inspire you. And if you'll indulge me for a moment, I just want to read his words, because I can't say them any better than Howard Thurman. Varied and rich are the methods used by individuals who have discovered the strength and the security that comes from the practice of the presence of God. Most often, these practices are very private and are part of the intimate resources of personal religious living. To talk about such things is like living one's private life in public. In the course of a lifetime, a person may be privileged to share the testimony in most unexpected ways. There is a friend, he says, who is in her 70s now. In her professional life, she was a secretary. Each morning, before breakfast, she sits at her typewriter and writes a letter to God. No one else ever sees what she writes. It is part of her own private communion with him. There is another person well into the later years. For some months now, she has been in uncertain health. Each morning when she awakes, she stops for a period of meditation. The phrase is the same at the beginning of each day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. At night, as she turns out the light over her bed, she says it a little differently, because rejoice and be glad are not very restful words. So she says, this is the night which the Lord has made. I will relax and rest in it. One day she had a fall, but she managed to pull herself up without calling for help. She was quite shaken and was in much pain. She prepared herself for bed and with much discomfort was able to get in under the covers. As she turned out the light, she said, this is the night which the Lord has made. I will relax and cry in it. Then she realized what she had said, and her tears were all mixed with her laughter. Varied and rich indeed are the methods used by individuals who have discovered the strength and serenity that comes from the practice of the presence of God. That ends Howard Thurman's reading here. So you have two examples of folks who strived to live the practice of the presence of God in their life. Brother Lawrence and Howard Thurman, and the stories that they share. One encourages you to seek the presence of God in every moment of your life and to look for the little things, the silent spaces in your day. The other, from Howard Thurman, encourages you to be creative, to use that creative impulse that God has given you to get to know Christ personally through your prayers, your devotions, and your meditations. Perhaps you can adopt one or both of these on your own Emmaus journey. Our story finally ends when these two men reach Emmaus and they do two significant things before they realize that Christ was with them. The first was they invited Christ into their home. And the second was they watched as Jesus broke bread with them at the supper table. So let this finally be a twofold encouragement for you to always invite Christ to be real into your life. That is a promise that will always be true. And always let that journey be marked by times at the communion table when Jesus reminds all of us of that incredible promise, that wonderful truth, that Christ is with us wherever we go. And of God's amazing sacrifice, let's remember that God is with us every step of the way. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all, amen.